Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, 9:08 now here at WWL, and we're getting ready to talk about EVs and salt water, and the gentleman we're about to speak with is an expert when it comes to EVs. He is our go-to guy with electric vehicles. If you have any questions or comments, please send them in. Text them in to 504-260-1870, the Oquinar Jeweler Talk and Text Line, and I'll be glad to pass them along. With that, we welcome in Stephen Melnick, Professor of Supply Chain Management at Michigan State. He's done research in strategic supply chain, cybersecurity, performance measurements, and supply chain design. How you doing, Professor?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Very well, sir. Good to talk to you again. Somebody texted in and said EVs are very expensive, lightweight vehicles, but that's just the opposite, right? They're not lightweight at all.
Well, they're not, and that's because of the battery pack. And the battery pack is both, it's the major issue in an EV because it's the source of your power. It also determines your range, your charging time, and it also, in many cars, provides the integrity for the vehicle because the vehicle is built around the battery pack, which is one reason when a battery pack goes bad, it's very expensive to repair. And as you asked right now at the beginning, we're now the latest issue of floods has raised the issue of fires. And that's another issue that's been uncovered.
Normally, you would think water and electricity don't go together, but when it comes to this, is it a matter of salt water or is it any water, Professor?
Well, okay, let's be very clear. Most modern battery packs are insulated against water because water causes a problem. What they're not insulated against is prolonged exposure or immersion in water because it can cause the thing, the protection to break down. Now, there is a problem, potential problem that can occur when you have a breakdown because the batteries can overheat. And when they overheat, they can experience something called they start to short circuit and they start to heat up. And when they start to heat up, there's a problem in the sense that the heat can spread from one battery to another cell in the battery pack. And this is something referred to as thermal runaway. And when that occurs, the car goes up in flames. And what happens is it occurs with water, but with salt water, it's specifically problematic because salt water has salt, which is conductive. So if you add that feature to it, it's like putting basically a copper wire between things. But before we get so excited, let's just put things in perspective. If you look at the statistics, for every 100,000 electric vehicles, 25 catch fire annually, according to the auto insurance industry. Mm-hmm. But for gas-powered vehicles, for every 100,000, 1,530 fires are reported per year.
Really?
So not as often. But when they occur, they can be unexpected. There's a really good example. I don't know if you've been watching this, but there was an example in Las Vegas of a car being stored inside a garage, and then the car burst in flames.
So with a gas engine, it's primarily when it's running would be the problem?
Oh, when it's running or it's in a collision?
Yeah. With the electric vehicles, it's when they're unattended sometimes, correct?
Right. And so this creates a problem. In the case of the one instance that was videotaped in the garage, you could see the vehicle basically, you could see a spark, and you could see the flame develop under the vehicle, and then within minutes, the vehicle was in flames and the whole house was burnt down. So think of it this way. With a gas-powered vehicle, you're most likely to have a fire as a result of an accident. In an EV, depending upon what can happen, it could be that you have a breakdown in the protection, or it could be it's submerged in water. And if it's submerged in water, prolonged submersion can break down the protection, and it can create a situation where one cell starts to heat up and suddenly it spreads to the other cells, and then you've got a car on fire, which is one reason that in Florida, Ron DeSantis, the governor there, had informed or told people that they have EVs taken to high grounds and make sure that they're not inside homes.
So they knew this was coming.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. I mean, we've known about it since 2012.
So
that this is
No, that's all right. Go ahead, Professor. I want to hear what you have to say.
No, it's just so we've known about it. It's just that what's happening now is we've got a series of these hurricanes coming in, which are creating problems in the sense that you've got massive amount of water. And, for example, think about what's happening right now. I was listening to your weather forecast. There's another hurricane coming down the pipe. Mm-hmm. And so that means one after the other is coming in. And so this creates a greater potential probability for exposure to problems.
Yeah, I thought about you the other day because I was watching a feature. I don't know what agency it was that did it, but they were checking guardrails with EVs, and because of the increased weight, the guardrails are not as effective as they should be.
Well, you have to understand, EV is a new technology. So initially, everything we have is built up for the gas-powered car. You introduce an EV, and you have a whole new set of gains and rules, a whole new set of rules. And one of the problems that you have is that over time, you have to modify the infrastructure, the system, to accommodate this new technology. Why? Because, you know, for example, you know, I'll give you a prime example. Do you remember, you're probably not that old, years ago when cars were sold, they used to have bias ply tires. And that was the major way of doing it. Then out of Europe came radial tires. Now, you wouldn't think a radial tire going from a bias ply to a radial tire would cause much of a problem. But it did, because the driving habits, the impact on driving was different. So it took time for the car manufacturers to change the design of the car to take advantage of radial tires. So whenever you have a change, what we tend to assume is that the existing technology or the existing infrastructure works. And in many cases, it doesn't, and that requires investment. So in the case of guardrails, you've got to put stronger guardrails in place. It means if you're going to buy tires, you have to buy tires which are specific for EVs because you're putting a heavier load on the tire. So, again, it's part of the challenge of introducing a new technology. You know, essentially we begin with it. We assume it's the same like the old technology, and over time we start to find what occurs and what factors we have to basically focus on in redesigning the next generation of vehicles with this technology.
Somebody texted it in, and we don't have graphics or anything, so can you repeat the numbers about the fires with the electric vehicles as opposed
to... Okay, according to the statistics I was able to get, and it comes from a site called Auto Insurance Easy, and it claims that for every 100,000 electric vehicles, 25 catch fire annually. However, for every 100,000 gas-powered cars, 1,530 fires are reported a year. And these are primarily due to fuel leaks or crashes. So again, in the case of a car, if you have a fuel leak and it's in your garage and you're not aware of it and the engine's cooling down, it could cause a fire, or more likely it's going to occur in an accident, where the gas tank is basically destroyed or compromised, and then it's going to spill on the hot engine, and guess what? You've got a fire taking place.
Somebody texted in about the differences in EVs. Are there companies that make only EVs? Are there companies that make both? And when it comes to the threat of fire, is it the same for a hybrid?
That's a good question. Okay, let's understand something. A hybrid is a very different character. A hybrid is really the melding of the two technologies. So typically a hybrid is one that's going to use electricity under, let's say, a certain speed limit or under a certain range. And then after you go past that range, it's going to kick into gas. I don't know about those, but the question that you're really asking is, are the car companies that make only electric, and are there car companies that make a mixture of the two? Yeah. Tesla is the most prime example of one that's solely an electric car company. If you've been listening to the news, you know that the Chinese are poised to come into the United States. BYD, for example, which stands for Build Your Dreams, is solely an electric car company. And that's because the Chinese government has recognized that they can't compete against companies like Ford, GM, Toyota in the gas market. They see EVs as the future. And so what they've done is encouraged strongly, if you know anything about China, you know what I mean by that, strongly encouraged the car companies to transition from building only gas to building primarily EVs, with the idea that if they build an infrastructure for that, they can come in and undercut our prices because, you know, that's all they do. And they're close to the critical resources. So you've got Tesla, you've got Rivian, you've got Fisk. I don't know if Fisk is still in business, but you've got companies which only built EVs. And then you've got you've got Ford, you've got GM, you've got Toyota has one EV. You've got the Subaru, which has one EV. Nissan was one of the first companies to introduce an EV, so it does both gas and EV. So you've got the traditional auto companies are basically feeling their way in the EV market to kind of understand, is it something they want to participate in? And they see it as the future, so it's kind of preparing themselves to do it. So you've got both companies that do both, and then you've got companies that are solely EVs. Now, the question I think you're really asking, is there a difference in the quality between them? And I'm not sure there is. I think most companies conform to best practice and most effective practices. So I think this is just a challenge which is inherent in the technology we're introducing.
So when it comes to these BYDs, I know, let me take a break, Professor. We'll pick it up when we come back. I wonder, sure. You know, they talked about maybe they could put a car in the United States for $10,000, others $29,000, which is a good price point. And I understand that they're talking about tariffs, but I don't know if people would buy these things, if there would be. I think almost the market would take care of this because I don't know that there'd be the infrastructure to support this. We'll talk more about that when we come back. We're talking about electric vehicles with Stephen Melnick, professor of supply chain management at Michigan State. He's done a lot of research into EVs, and he's taught us a lot about it. He teaches us a lot about it every time he comes on. You got any questions? 504-260-1870. S.E. Wilkinhart Jeweler, talk and text line. I'll pass them along when we come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL. 9:27 now, talking about electric vehicles and catching fire after exposure to salt water with Stephen Melnick, professor of supply chain management at Michigan State. He is our EV go-to guy. So, Professor, when it comes to these BYDs and the tariffs that they're talking about putting on them, and I understand that, but it would seem like on the other side of it, I'm not saying I'm against tariffs, but it would seem like there's not the infrastructure to support mass purchase of these vehicles anyway, is there?
Well, you're getting into an issue that we touched on in previous discussions, which is we've seen the government, the United States government, supporting the automakers. And to me, in Michigan, that's kind of an important issue since Michigan is the home of the auto industry. Mm-hmm. But it's one part of the equation. If you're serious about making EVs a feasible, long-term, viable options for most peoples, you've got to also not only consider the EV, the ability to build them, but you've got to consider the ability to service them, to charge them, which means we've got to look at the charging infrastructure. Right now we have an infrastructure which is, for the most part, managed privately. And one of the problems that you encounter is that, number one, coverage. EVs are starting to become, in my mind, really nice town cars. Because, you know, the range is appropriate. I don't have to worry about going out for 200 miles. I'm going to be traveling under 50 miles. And you've got the density to support charging infrastructure. So you need an infrastructure. You need access to the appropriate ports. And you've also got to have an infrastructure to service the vehicle. EVs are not serviced the same way as gas cars. When you have a problem, when you have repairs, when you have a collision, they have their own protocols. So if we want to see the our EVs get wider spread acceptance, you've got to think about the infrastructure. And though the challenge with the infrastructure, it's a dual-edged sword. It facilitates the adoption of EVs. But on the other hand, if you're coming in and you're a Chinese manufacturer, it makes your product much more attractive. So you've got that interesting issue. If we're going to see...
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
These as being of an important part of the transportation solution, then the infrastructure, the availability. So if I'm traveling, for example, I live in just outside of East Lansing, Michigan, or Lansing, which is the state capital. If I go up, I have a place up in Elk Rapids, which is 190 miles away. I'm okay in Lansing, but as soon as I hit the highway, I've got to worry about range, and I've got to worry about access. And the other thing I've got to worry about is, if I get there, how long will it take me to charge? Not all charging stations are the same. That's an important part of the puzzle. And it's going to be critical if we're going to see EVs play a much larger role in, as I said, the transportation solution.
So when it comes to the batteries and the battery life and the price of these batteries, I'm just wondering about the engineering of it, the advancements, the efficiencies, because if it's a situation where you use the car for, what's the life span of the battery, Professor? Life expectancy?
I couldn't tell you right now. I wouldn't guess. I think it's about 12 years max.
All right, 12 years. So at that point, you have a car that is pretty much worthless, right?
Yeah. In fact, some years ago, there was a really interesting YouTube video that came out of Norway. Europe, especially the Scandinavian countries, have been one of the larger adopters of EVs. A person had a Tesla, 2012 Tesla. The battery was dead. I mean, so it cost him $20,000 to replace the battery, and if he took it in as a trade-in, he wouldn't get anything back. Mm-hmm. So what he decided to do was he basically put a request out to ask, what would they do with a car? And somebody said, I want to blow it up and film it on YouTube. So the way he disposed of his car is he blew it up. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not exactly the way I want to see my car disposed of. But it's when the battery is dead, it's a major issue to replace it, because you have to understand it's a specialized operation. I just cannot go to an ordinary gas service center and have them do it. And they're heavy. There are specialized people who do it, and they tend to be in large cities. So you've got the issue of battery life. That's going to be inherent. Batteries degrade. If you have a cell phone, you have the same thing occurring. And as soon as they degrade, they have an impact on the performance. A gas-powered vehicle, we can see them, look along many of the cars we've seen. If you go to a classic car show, you've got cars out there that are older than you and I, still driving around. Not the case in an EV. So, and not even on top of that, this is somewhat off topic, but then I'm a professor and I have the right to go off topic.
You damn right you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My wife says that to me all the time. Mm-hmm. You brought up a point about EVs and water. Mm-hmm. One of the problems that you have is that one way of avoiding a thermal runaway is to allow the batteries to vent heat. This is something that we have been aware of for some period of time. In preparing for this discussion with you, I went back and I found that a guy named Abarth, who is the chief of special investigation branch of the National Transportation Safety Board, Office of Highway Safety, did a report some years ago. In it, he pointed out that thermal runaway occurs because batteries are close to each other, and the battery doesn't have a way of venting heat. So if you think of it, you've got, I think it's put like, it's the following. It's, you've got a closed container and you've got something going on. A good example is if you use Drano. Drano in the 1950s was dangerous, and because it would expand, cause heat. And the old Drano cans would have a metal top, which was screwed on. And what you had essentially, if you got some water in it, and with the metal top, you had a grenade, which is one reason that your Drano cans now have a soft top. You need a way of venting heat. That's a design feature. That's not been designed into it. Batteries have been designed to prevent water from getting in. But once water gets in, or once the protection is compromised, you've got to challenge that unless you can vent the heat, that battery is going to basically explode and then affect the other batteries, and you're going to have a situation where your car goes on fire in your house, and then your house goes up in flames.
No, you don't want that.
That's something we've got. That's something we got to think about, and that's not addressed after the fact. That's a design issue. Think of it. It's like you have to protect the battery, but once the battery has been compromised, you have to allow it to vent heat. And the report that came out of the NTSB was very specific. It said, we're doing a good job on protecting. We have not done an adequate job on venting. So as we learn about these issues, there's something else we have to pick up on. And if you think about that, that's going to affect the battery design, because it's going to be a feature that's going to add dollars, and it may or may not add weight. That's got to be seen. But think of it. We're starting to uncover it. The hurricanes we've been having, the flooding we've been having, has been exposing it, especially salt, because salt is a great corrosive. And not only that, its potential lasts even after the floods have receded, because salt stays in the battery, and it's going to be a conductor. So you've got the feature that not only do we have an infrastructure, but we still have basic problems with the design of the battery packs. So and those have got to be addressed.
Yeah, when it comes to that, are the physics what the physics are, or is there any way to advance this where the battery doesn't either become garbage after 12 years or some it becomes
that's
more sustainable?
That's the issue. That's why a lot of innovation has been going on right now, because what you've got going on is you've got the issue of charging speed, weight, life, and also the ability to tolerate damage. We're seeing new every day. If when I look at the news and I look at what's been going on in research, we have examples of people addressing it. It takes time. When you have a new technology like EVs, remember, cars have been around with us over 150 years, close to 150 years. EVs are relatively new. By the way, yeah, you can say that the EV was present in the 1920s. We had battery powered cars back then, but they were found not to be feasible. They've started to come back, and what you're doing now is, as you come up with these new, you have another generation. You have another generation, and that's one of the problems that affects EVs, and that is, if you buy an EV, you're always taking a bet on the technology. And one of the problems is that when a new technology comes out or an advancement takes place, it means your investment in your car is suddenly not as attractive. To give you an example of this as a parallel, trade-in values of cars that were introduced prior to a major model change often suffer, because if you know that the car is being redesigned, and if you have a car from the year before, you're going to take a hit on trade-in values. And when you have an EV and you have an old technology, the challenge is that trade-in may not be as attractive, which is why many people are more likely to lease an EV than they are to buy it. I bought my gas-powered car because I'm certain of the trade. There's a greater certainty of trade-in. With an EV, you're always thinking about the next technology coming down the pipe. And if a technology comes down the pipe, it could make the existing technology obsolete. And then the challenge is, who wants to buy an existing technology which is obsolete?
When it comes to cooling these things, somebody texted in, I don't know anything about it. I presume there's no radiator or anything? Or is
there? No, there isn't. It doesn't need a radiator. A car needs a radiator because it generates heat. Mm-hmm. The problem that you have with batteries is, as long as they're not corrupted, batteries are generating energy. The problem is that when they begin to heat up, then you have a problem because you've got cells in close proximity to each other. And think of it, this thing heats up, and it heats up to a really high temperature. If you look at the video, the one, just if your audience has a chance, just text or do a YouTube search on EV car on fire Las Vegas. And you'll see a video taken. Security camera is in the garage, and it's focused on this Tesla. And what you can see underneath it is, in one area, you see a red glow, and then it just spreads along the entire, and suddenly the entire car just bursts into flames. And think of it, we've been aware of the fact that you have to protect the battery. Now what you have is an additional challenge. You have to vent the battery. And that's something that has not been done adequately. So it's, again, it's another challenge. It's protection is enough, but then once the damage is done, how do we prevent the battery from heating up and causing this thermal runaway?
We have street flooding here. It happens normally when it just rains.
Yep.
For people that deal with that, that have an EV and deal with that, should they avoid the water? I mean,
first of all, don't avoid water. Avoid water. Mm-hmm. Avoid the water, because understand one thing. Any car should avoid water, but if you get and you take your car into water, the problem is it's really problematic from a damage perspective, because once your battery pack has been submerged, even if it's dried off, you should not drive it unless it's been taken into an authorized facility and it's been checked. You don't know what damage is, and especially you're in New Orleans, you have to worry about salt water. Mm-hmm. And even when the water dries off and the battery looks dry, you've got salt left behind, and salt is a great conductor. So it means even though it looks okay, you don't think you've got damage. If your battery pack has been submerged, don't take a chance. I mean, my recommendations are, number one, go to higher ground. Don't drive in the wet. And if your car has been partially submerged, if you have any questions, take it in for a check. Don't gamble with your life and your property.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time and the information as always. Professor Stephen Melnick, he's a professor of supply chain management at Michigan State, where he's done research in the strategic supply chain, cybersecurity, performance measurements, and supply chain design. He is our go-to guy when it comes to EVs. So look, if you have an EV, I'm not trying to take it away from you. I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong with it. All we're trying to do is educate people who are thinking about maybe buying one and if now's the time to get it or some of the other concerns. We come back, we'll talk with JR from Taken Vegas. We get you some winners right now at 942, 18 till 10, traffic, WWL.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.